Dear brothers and sisters, every king wants his son to be kings, not ministers. Don't you think like that? So every saint wants those coming to him to become saints. What he is, the other should, up to that level. If possible, even more. Today the whole talk on the series, you see, first, second, third and fourth. Hitherto we have been dealing with the God, God-man and general things. Today is the last talk in continuation of that. God made man highest in all creation, next to God. Quran says, angels were asked to bow down before the man worship. This is similar to all of the masters saying, even the gods and goddesses have to take the form of man if they want to meet God. So man body is the highest in all creation next to God. It is a golden opportunity in which we can know God and know in no other body. Rig Veda tells us it is a place where Brahma can be manifested. Taittiriya Upanishad tells us those rishis, the soul of the rishi, when they enjoyed the higher place, bliss, they came back, they accepted to enter the body of man, because it's the highest in all creation. Even the gods and goddesses, they are on their own degree, you see, that is not meeting God, it is on the way back to God. So fortunately, we have got the man body. The sixth scriptures tell us, man body is the temple of God, in which the light of God is effulgent. So all masters say that man is the true temple of God, is the true mask in which God lives. God lives where? Not in temples made by the human hands, but in the temple that he has made. You know who has made this man body? In the womb of the mother? By the hands of God. So he does reside in the temple made by him. And that's the man body in which we are. Outer temples are made only out of the model of man body. Dome-shaped, all temples, long-shaped, nose-shaped churches, forehead-shaped, all mosques. The body is the two mosques, two churches, and the two temples in which he resides. God, when he wanted to be man, there was vibration. Vibration results in two things, light and sound. God is light, and God is music of the spheres, nada, akhandkirtam. So, it manifests in the man body. Outer models were made just to let the new beginners to understand what is what. As long as they are practical people, they gave them demonstration of what they had made. They made the models of man by the outside, that the two temples in which God resides, and in which the light and sound of God is seen and heard, is the man body which you are carrying. So even the Bible says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And the Spirit of God dwells in you. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is within you? Further they say, as the Spirit of God dwells in us, what are we but the Spirit of God? We are micro-gods. Kabir says we are of the same essence as that of God. We are drops of the ocean of all consciousness. And we are the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is eternal. Why think we that we shall die? And God is eternal, soul is also eternal. So Kabir therefore says soul is of the same essence as that of God. Maharajan says, for the ignorant, God lives in man-made temples. For the ignorant, or you may say for the beginner, to understand what is what, they made models of the man body, dome-shaped, forehead-shaped, and nose-shaped. So God lives in man-made, for the ignorant, God lives in man-made temples, but the real awakened find Him only within themselves. The God-made temple of man body, in the womb of the mother. So man body is the golden opportunity that we have got in which we can know God. And masters say they have seen God in man body. They have seen Him everywhere and in the miniature sphere in the man body that we are carrying. He is controlling us in the body. It is the true temple of God we are having. Guru Nanak went to Persia. There the Qazi Rukunuddin put him a question, you are a great saint, you must have seen the house of God. He said, yes, I have seen. And he described this man body. There are so many limbs are there. There are two windows in the house, twice. And from above God calls us back. Children, come back home. So as it is the true temple of God, what becomes then? We should keep it clean and tidy. You see? Of course, we are keeping the body clean outside, no doubt. We spend thousands of dollars on that. But what about inside? It is dirty within. A dog which is considered to be the lower form of creation. When it sits, keeps the ground clean underneath by its tail, brushes the earth beneath it. So what we can think of, you see, when any officer comes, what we do? We keep all things clean and tidy. So if a king had to enter your home, will he come in a latrine? No. God resides in this house of the man body. Can you ever dream He will manifest in a dirty home? So ethical life is a stepping stone to spirituality. This house is defiled by the mind. Mind is controlled by the outgoing faculties. And soul is controlled by the mind. Mind is controlled by the outgoing faculties. And outgoing faculties are driven like anything by the outward enjoyments. So we have identified ourselves with them so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. We cannot differentiate ourselves. We have the man body. We have the outgoing faculty. We have the God mind. So Chandas, Saint Sakshi, Chandas, we are in the control of mind and mind is in the control of outgoing faculties. And our intellect and the control of mind, where such a state of affairs lies, how can there be any rest? All those effects remain, this all going outgoing faculties take strength from us. Unless attention, which is the outward expression of the soul, is not with the outgoing faculties, they don't work. You might have experienced in your daily life, sometimes you sit in your thought absorbed, your ears are open, but somebody calls you once, twice, thrice. You do not give him reply, he comes up to you. My dear friend, I have called you so many times, why don't you reply? You simply say, my attention was somewhere else. The attention which is the outward expression of the soul, if it is not with the ears, ears don't work. Sometimes we are sitting in a absorbed thought, eyes remain open, somebody passes by, we don't recognize it. So these outgoing faculties which do take strength from us, who we are soul. What is the outer expression of the soul is called attention. So long the attention is the, with these outgoing faculties, they work. It is the whole matter of stuffing, you see. So Guru Amar Das tells us, the mind which is driven by outside, outgoing faculties on all sides, how can a man, which is under the control of mind, he can see God? The reason is that he is led away outside by the outgoing faculties. So there are main five outgoing faculties: eyes, sight, ears, audition, hearing, nose, smell, tongue is taste, and skill is feeling. So these are the five outgoing faculties. Lust attached to the eyes. Anger is flared up by hearing. The more you hear, the more you flare up. And greed is increased by the tongue. Similar other outgoing faculties, we are dragged like anything to the outside thing. We receive outward impressions through these outgoing faculties. 80% of the impressions are received through the eyes, 80%. Ever since the child is born, from day onward he looks and hears. That's the main two outgoing faculty work. So 80% impressions are received to the eyes and 14% from the ears, and the remaining from the other outgoing faculties. You find those creation, those are under the control of one outgoing faculty, what is their fate? Moth, when it comes to the fire, it burns itself, because outgoing faculty of seeing is very prominent in it. The fish in the river, that are the prominent outgoing faculty, the taste. She is going around free, but how the fishermen catch them? They put in the nets some tangles and put in some thing to eat. Fish comes and gulps that thing within, and the she is caught. And she dies, result in death. Moth is also, who is controlled by the eye faculty, is dead. And you say that Bhamra, that is who is fond of the perfumes that die in the flowers. So three forms of creation which are under control of sight, taste and smell, their ultimate fate is death. The remaining two faculties are of hearing and touch. The deer, antelopes in the jungle, you see, they gallop and they make some 20 feet long cuts, and they want to know how horse can catch them, how they are caught. The hunters beat the drum in the jungles where they reside. That wise attack them, they put their head on the drum and caught forever. They have the slavery for life. Elephant is after the touch, you see how strong it is. Though you have seen them in the jungles, they root out the trees from their trunks. How they are caught, the hunters dig a big pit wide enough and deep enough in which elephant, when falls, can be put, go in there. Or that they lay down branches of the trees or something to show that there is no pit underneath. And one form of the male, a female elephant is put on there. And he comes, plunges into it, and it goes down into a dip. He is kept under, hungry for days, and remains under ankle also. So out of the five faculties, three, those are controlled under the tree of the sight, of the taste, and the smell, they meet with death. And the two, those are under the control of hearing, are touch, they have lifelong slavery. What to speak of man who is under the control of all these five faculties at a time? So how can we expect to meet God? That you know. There is something for that also given. So, to read and write, give write books, it is not. Speaking is also the art. It is very easy. But the difficulty is to control the lust, to control the mind, and to rise above body consciousness. These are difficult things. You can leave the outside gold and emeralds. You can leave all attachments of the lust too. But the last thing that remains is ego. I am great. And that naturally gives contempt between those leaders. So you take the example of a fish, even if it enters the limpid waters of the Ganges, you look through the waters, even the sand at the bed is seen. You see, so limpid waters they are. Kabir says, if a fish enters those limpid waters, can you ever think that she leaves all bad odors she has got by living even in the very limpid waters? That remains the same. You may be washed down with like anything, but still that bad order cannot be go out. Guru Nanak gives a very good example to show this body, we are under delusion, you see. This delusion starts from body, man body. We are having the man body, but we are identified with the man body so much so that we have forgotten ourselves, that we are the indweller of the body. We work at the level of the man body. Man body is made of matter. Matter is changing every moment of life. All the world outside is also made of matter, which is changing at the same speed as our body. As we are identified with it, being under the control of mind and out in faculty, but we cannot dissociate ourselves. So Guru Nanak says that this, we have forgotten ourselves. And moreover, we are guided with the outward attachments, lust, greed and other things. How can one so wearing such a dirty clothes can go to the lap of his father? If a man has got dirty clothes, you won't allow him to sit by you. So by outward cleanliness won't do. Guru Amar Das tells us, that our mind is the whole thing. People go on cleaning from outside body. But they don't know that outer cleanliness is not sufficient, we have to also clean inside too. The world is going amiss. So first thing is to keep this man-body clean, which is the true home of God. And furthermore, this is not only by the mind out, that mind or this body is made dirty, you see. Some other things are also there. He says, if the blood is stained on the cloth, we think it is not right, we wash it down. And those who are drinking the blood of others, squeezing the blood of others, how can that also depends on the outward. Your earning should be honest. Earned by such a brow, who then lays down the criterion, who can know God? Who lives on his own earnings, earned by his own honest means, and shares with others. Only such a man can know God. So, our business should be honest. Our diet should be all, what you say, satisfying, sattvic. And our character should be good. Just as if your hands are filthy, anything you take in your hands those will become bad, have bad odor. Our inner life is radiated outside. Anything you take in hand or pass through the hand, they have the same radiation. So those who are, you see, after God, they want to watch all these things. The honest earning, the quality should be of diet to be pacifying, and further they should pass through such hands who are pure, holy, not lusty, not full of anger. That will affect the diet you eat. In the old days, you see, in the kitchen, mother didn't allow anybody to enter the kitchen. They would sit down there in sweet remembrance of God and prepare our kitchen. Whatever food was prepared, that whoever ate them, that is also the radiation of purity of life. So what is required, you see? Truth is above all and true living is still above truth. That is why Christ says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This impurity comes through mind and also by way of earning, eating, and the hand through which this food passes. Thoughts of lust, of anger, greed, all have their own radiation, you see? So we should be very careful to be clean inside. And the foremost thing is life of chastity, self-restraint. Continence is a virtue which gives you success in all spheres of life. A clean and chaste life is a fertile soil wherein the holy seed of spirituality can thrive. Those who are not married, they should observe strict chastity. Those who are married, they should live according to what? According to scripture. So scriptures tell us marriage means taking a companion in life who should be with you through weal or woe on this earthly sojourn, and both help each other to know God. One day, two may be of begetting children. So married life in a normal way, as prescribed in scriptures, is no bar to spirituality. So in the old days you find there are 3 degrees of brahmacharya. The lowest was of 25 years, the second was of 36 years, and the first class was 48 years. If you just by self-sustain maintain this fruit, which is very valuable, that grow to make your body, make your brain. You see to the wrestlers, they don't want to become wrestlers, they observe strict chastity. In the old days there were no books, they simply memorize all these things. Now you want books. So this is a very valuable thing. Self-restraint, the more you can observe, the better. So Tulsistar saints tell us, you want God to be manifest in your body, then what you should, you clean your house. You see? All these impressions that you receive from outside through the outward faculty, they should be seen, observed, which are clean. And he defines what is the what cleanliness means. He says in the man body, you see, that all thoughts other than God should be driven out. Any thoughts, any impression will go to help you towards God, think of God, those should be had. Other foreign thoughts, other than the God, should be taken away from them, from you. When you eat, thank God, you have given it. The very thing becomes blessed. When you live in houses, God has given you a house, then be thankful. You got a house to live in. Be thankful. So thankfulness is the greatest virtue. And ungratefulness is the greatest vice. They say only for the purpose of understanding, the earth was asked. You have got mountains, you have got rivers, you have got so many animals, men, and living on you, you must be feeling very much. When you are burdened, don't you feel burdened? The earth said, no, I don't feel any burden. Is there any kind with you? The burden of which you cannot bear, that is just one, who is ungrateful to God. So ungratefulness is the biggest vice. So what to do? Just within this body, let no other impression other than God should remain. Any work you do, dedicate to God. He has given. Be thankful. Be grateful. If you have a good health, be thankful. God has given you health. Make the best use of thinking of God. Now you see the outside things. The things which attack us outside, first they begin to be very loving, very blissful. The more you go into that, when you are addicted to it, you are in trouble. You want to leave them, but you cannot leave. The very thing which appears to be very attractive, very beautiful, very fascinating, later on that becomes quite hard.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording that was just played was called Sense Allurements and How to Overcome Them. It was given by Master Kripal on November 11, 1972, at the Unity Church in Vancouver, Canada. Our reader this morning is Christine Clevenger. Hi, Christine.
Hello, David. Hello to everyone. And I am going to continue Master's talk called I Am Thine, Thou Art Not Mine. I'll begin with the opening hymn to this talk. From the ocean's bubble, the sound arose that you and I are not different. Do not think I am separate from you. You and I are not different. When the mirror was placed before the face, at once the reflection spoke, "Friend, why are you wonderstruck? You and I are not different." The wheat seed said to the ear, "Keep silent. Do not wonder why or what that reflection of unity was seen diversely. You and I are not different. Why did you think that I was alien? Hide not the fairness of your face from me. Yes, remove the veil and come. You and I are not different." The idea that I am in everything because God is everywhere is very wrong if we have not got the actual realization of it and have not become one with God. It is true we are all miniature gods, all God in man and man in God, but we have forgotten the fact. Just as in a dream, where we are someone different than when we are awake. The experience of truth can only be obtained in the human form. The whole world has forgotten the true teaching. No one can go beyond without the guru. It follows also that the orders from the beloved of the beyond cannot be understood without the Satguru. It is a fundamental law. How can he who has not realized himself help others? Through the intellect at the level of the senses, one can discover many things, but to know oneself is an entirely different matter. The very first thing to learn is to keep the company of him who has the realization. It is natural that any subject we wish to learn, even on the physical level, must be taught to us by one who has mastered it himself. Even if we start with a good background, even then further guidance is very necessary. But the guru should be a real guru, not one merely so-called from the class that has defamed the name of gurudom. These days, if you pick up a stone, you will find a guru, sadhu or sant, beneath. How many men can you find who are true to their declarations? Be circumspect in your search. It is also said, while I do not see with my own eyes, I cannot believe even my master's words. If we do not have the third eye opened to see the inner visions, with perhaps more or slightly less experience, and be fully convinced that something exists within, then how can we have full faith in the Guru's words? Go and search for someone who is authentic and competent. You will find many to give you one practice or another, telling you to carry on doing it, and eventually enlightenment will come. Such actions are good, but your I-hood will not be eradicated until, with an actual connection within, you start to see. A true guru is he who connects you with the Shabd. Shabd is second to none, available only from a perfect master, at whose feet you will get the realization. Someone once asked Kabir Sahib what kind of respect he had for sadhus and sants, there being so many in the world. He replied, "All sadhus are great in their own way, but I place my head at the feet of him who is the knower of the Shabd. He hears it, is one with it, and can connect others to it." And when does one get such a guru? Through good karmas, a satguru is met. When God showers his mercy, he brings the fortunate recipient to that human form wherein he is manifested. What kind of yoga does the satguru teach? He gives us the desirable service by connecting our attention with the Shabd. He does not give any practice at the level of mind, intellect, or senses, but connects the attention directly to the Shabd, which is the God into expression power. Philosophy deals with theory, but mysticism deals with contact, reality. Because philosophy works on the intellectual level, whereas mysticism works on the level of the soul. This is why Kabir Sahib said that all sadhus are respected, but a God-realized person is worthy of worship. A God-realized man will give you realization. A king would never wish his son to serve as a minister, and a true master desires that his children should reach the stage of mastership. You may read all the books written by and about the self-realized people, but the right understanding of them will only enter the heart when they are explained by a self-realized person. Those who see have one understanding. You will find that intellectuals have different understanding, because on the level of the intellect, naturally, each will reason in his own way. So some say one thing and others say something else. All statements given out by past masters on the subject of truth have been one and the same. Of course, they used whatever language and mode of expression that were suitable at the time. Otherwise, the facts are the same. Although it is written in those very scriptures that you cannot realize God through books, yet many people spend their whole lives searching among them. One should read and fully understand. All masters have indicated that God does not reside in temples made with stone. We have ourselves made these buildings in our own image. Church steeples are nose-shaped. The mihrab of the mosque is forehead-shaped, and the Hindu temple's dome is head-shaped. Within these holy places are kept the two symbols. The light is lit, and the bell or other sound is heard. But he who made this house, the human body, gave the key to the guru. When this house was made in the womb of the mother, there was no machinery in there to form it. It was formed by the hand of God, and he took up residence within. So in this temple of God, the human body, the light of truth is shimmering. Though we have respect for outer temples where the people should gather to sing the praises of the Lord, yet we should light the light within ourselves. Many Muslim fakirs have frankly stated that for those people whose eye is not open, the mosque is that which is made of bricks and mortar. For realized souls who are in full control of their faculties, this physical form is the true mosque. They have also said that no one should say the Kaaba is better than a temple. Within the Kaaba, Hazrat Ibrahim's Hajar-ul-Aswad is kept as a monument, which is kissed in reverence. But such like images and memorials are kept in holy places in remembrance of God. The fakirs say also that where God is manifest is the best place for worshiping him. Now, listen attentively to the hymn of Guru Amar Das Ji Sahib. He said, "Within this house lies everything. Nothing is outside. The inner door is opened with the Guru's blessing. Who lives in this body? It is the soul's house. On top of this, we have made houses for this house." He says, "Within this house lies everything. Nothing is outside. The whole creation resides therein. Whatever Brahman is, so is this body. He who searches will find it. Macrocosm is in the microcosm, and he who searches outside the body will never find it. The thing is in one place. You search in another. How will it come to hand?" Kabir says, "You will realize it only if you take the one who knows. Keep the company of one who has mastered whatever subject you want to learn. So if you meet someone who truly knows spirituality, then, by taking the knower, he daily shows the treasure. It was work for millions of births, but he accomplished it in 1 second. With a little attention from a competent master, you will withdraw from outer conditions, and the light will appear within, however little experience it may be. I remember once, Nehru was discussing this science with me, and he asked the question, 'How can you realize this thing?' I replied, 'By giving a sitting.' He said, 'How much time will it take?' I said, 'Half an hour.' The thing itself is within, but the one to see it is wandering around outside, dancing to the tune of mind and senses. The soul sustains the latter, but he is himself being dragged here and there. Because we have erred, this is our condition. When instead we could have made the senses work to our will, for they cannot operate without our attention. With the Guru's blessing, the door which lies between us and God is opened. In Guru Nanak's Japji Sahib, he tells us, there is one reality, the unmanifest manifested. Ever-existent, he is Nam, the Creator, pervading all. Without fear, without enmity, the timeless, the unborn, self-existent, complete within itself, through the favor of his true servant, the Guru, he may be realized. That which we call the One is something. He is not one, and he is not two. This is merely a way of remembering him, for we are finite and require finite terms. There is no way of praising him, but there are words which attempt to describe that he is the truth. He is the Nam. He is the doer. He is the Supreme Being, beyond birth and death. He was not created, but born of himself, and that God is the blessing from the Guru. Sat Guru shows the One. An experience of that One, which we also call the Truth, is given by the Guru, for that One responds to the wish of the Guru. Guru Amar Das achieved this after more than 70 years of searching, and from what he has written, it seems that he left no practice unexplored. When at last he reached his goal, he said that doing all those karmas, he had become extremely tired. And then the gift of the Satguru came so easily. Without good karma, you cannot meet a guru, and then it happens only with God's grace. He is waiting at the door, which he himself will open. I once met a man of some spiritual repute, but he did not believe that there is light within the human being. He considered it good enough to see the sun outside, and that there is merely flesh, bones, blood, and dirt within the body. And yet, all great masters have firmly declared that by repetition of the holy Nam, a light the strength of millions of suns will be seen within the human form. It is said also that the Guru makes us owner of the house, like a queen, and gives us 10 servants, the 5 gross and 5 subtle senses, at our call. The servants obey implicitly when the owner is in full control. The outcome is revealed within when the sun appears in all its glory. Guru Nanak says, the midnight sun has risen. Maulana Rumi says, only those who see the midnight sun should come and talk to me. Otherwise, do not waste my time. When do we see it? When we withdraw from outer environments, we realize it in this very temple of God, the human body. By repeating the Nam, the light of millions of suns is apparent. A guru is not just a literary man, but a realized soul, someone who does not live in darkness, and who can remove the dark veil from the eyes of others. It is the principal criterion for judging a guru. A man may be learned, a great intellectual or propagandist, but living in darkness. How can one who sees not the light show it to others? Though the light burns in each being, yet it is rather likened to a lamp upon which are many coverings, and from which not a single ray of light shines forth. The soul has many coverings, so if you remove the first, a glimmer of light will be seen. If the second covering is removed, even more light will shine, and so on. He who has removed all coverings will radiate forth the light of God in full effulgence, and he is a true disciple. He is then a true Hindu, true Sikh, true Christian, true Muslim, etc. Guru Tegh Bahadur Sahib gave the example that if some floral design is engraved on a wall, it will remain there, come rain or shine. We, the soul, have become so much attached and a part of the world that we cannot withdraw from it. However, one who is in control of his attention can help us to withdraw by his single glance. The saint has given me the wealth. That wealth must be increased. A fine lecturer may instruct in the principles of running a business and becoming wealthy, but unless he also gives some capital to start with, the information is useless to a poor man. A true saint never merely says, "Go on doing this and you will eventually get something." A true saint is the one who gives some capital to start with. And who is that saint? He in whom God has manifested himself. God is the giver, not the human form. Through the Satguru, you will realize God, brother. It is also said, without a Satguru, no one has realized him. Hundreds of moons and thousands of suns are inside, but you have not the strength to see them. With so much brilliant light, there is dense darkness. Without the Guru, only darkness. This is incomprehensible. Without the Guru, attention is uncontrolled. Salvation cannot be achieved. The Guru is a great power. He is God in man, or man in God. He is Word made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Also, in the Guru, he has manifested himself and distributes the Shabd. When you get the Shabd, you will get God. The God into expression power is called the Shabd, and the Shabd, which is manifested in a human pole, is called the Guru. Ice, steam, and water are all basically the same substance. Satguru is complete in himself. The Satguru is that power which is complete in its own strength. The same power, working on higher planes, is called Gurudev. On the physical level, it is also called Guru, Sant, Mahatma, Sadhu, etc. Who is competent to tell of God? The stories and anecdotes of God can only be told by the Guru. Information about the Lord must be factual, and only the Guru can give it, for he himself is the truth. He tells what he sees. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. He does not add anything from outside, but shows what is already within. It is a subject of self-analysis. When you meet a Satguru, the inversion starts. At present, all expression is outward, but through the Guru's power, the senses begin to invert within. When Guru Amar Das Ji was asked how the senses can invert, he replied, "When you meet a Satguru, the inversion starts, but it cannot be explained. The subject cannot be expressed in words. One must sit down and experience it." He was also asked what one gets through inversion, and he replied, "Die while living, and you will unravel it." At the time of death, the attention withdraws by leaving the senses and focusing at the point behind and between the eyes. While living here in the world, you can learn to die at will and can be the one who sees the mysteries of the beyond. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. As Christ said, you must be reborn. Also, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The kingdom of God is within you. Man is an upside-down tree with the roots at the top. A tree's roots are in the earth and the branches stretch upward, but man's roots go up and the branches down. Christ told the people to take up the cross daily, which means every day one should die to the body. St. Paul said, "I die daily." The whole world leaves at death, but it is a natural science to leave at will, the art of which we have forgotten. The Guru Mukh comes and goes at will. The Guru Mukh, not the Man Mukh. Nam is already residing within. The complete Satguru shows it. Each one has the wealth of Nam within him. And that Nam is what? God is nameless. I bow to him who has no name. When God absolute, that which is not in expression, came into expression, that was called Nam. Nam sustains all Khand and Brahmand, the whole universe. Also, through Nam, all creation came into being. So he says that within us is the wealth of Nam, which is the controlling power. O Nanak, everything is under the control of Nam. With great destiny, it is received. How can one recognize the Nam? When the absolute God power was expressed, there was vibration, and that vibration has two aspects, light and sound principle. By repetition of Nam, the light of millions of suns can be seen. Also, God keeps the jeweled song of his name within the sadhu. In that song is the light and the sound. You have only to withdraw from outside and you will see and hear with the help of a perfect master. And until you see and hear for yourself, you cannot truly believe. How many Mahatmas can you find who will give you this experience by giving a sitting? A learned man will give you scholarly knowledge. A doctor will teach through anatomy and dissection. A God-realized person will give you a demonstration of the soul's awakening by self-analysis, After more than 70 years of hard searching, Guru Amar Das got this realization at the feet of Guru Angad Sahib. The elixir of immortality is the name of the Lord. It resides in this body. Nam is the giver of all kinds of happiness, but one must withdraw the attention and rise above the body consciousness. That Nam, which is then contacted inside, is delectably sweet. There is great intoxication there. The intoxication of Nam, O Nanak, inebriates day and night. There may be a variety of words to signify, but the power is the same. Repeat, O my mind, that one Nam which the Satguru has given. The different names given to the Lord are merely the means of remembering Him. I pay homage to all thy names, but He who is the form of all light and is called Guru, Sant, Sadhu, Mahatma, etc., the thoughts of Him who has received the Lord are like precious jewels. I will stop here and resume at a future date. Today's reading was a continuation of Master's talk, I am thine, thou art not mine, which can be found in the March 1971 Satsandesh. Thank you, gracious Master.
And thank you, Christine, for reading for us. There were 91 people at this morning's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for attending, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
After all, we have to leave the body. This gives a demonstration of how to leave the body. If you work day-to-day regular practice, what you will find? When you time off, you leave the body, you are jolly, you go smiling. Because you know to leave the body every day. All glory and beauty lies within you. God resides in you.